Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And so Chana's Shira is over, and they have dropped Shmuel Hanavi as a toddler off with Eli HaKohen after he was weaned. Vayelech Elkanah HaRamasa Al Beiso. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his home. Chana is not mentioned by name, but clearly the two of them turned around and went back. He went along with her neder to hand Shmuel over to the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Malbim says, Abdi'imo azavuhu Lashem, Shmuel's father and mother left him to God. Azavuhu can also mean abandoned him, but left him to God. And as a result of this self-sacrifice, the Hana'ar Haya Meshare says Hashem. And the Na'ar is actually a little too old for what Shmuel was. Shmuel was a very, very young child. He was a katan. He wasn't even close to a Na'ar. But he showed great wisdom beyond his years, great maturity beyond his years. A Na'ar can sometimes be used as a description for an adult man who is not living up to his age rather than his shoe size. But in this case, it's advancing him and showing that he was ahead of his time. And he was serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Malbim says, in the merit that is what his parents dedicated him to do. Espenei Eli HaKohen, in the presence of Eli the Kohen Gadol. Shmuel was actually too young halachically to do what a Levi needed to do in the Mishkan. So what he was actually doing was learning from Eli and serving him. But he's called serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we learned the great lesson from this, that anybody who serves a Torah scholar, who serves his Rebbe, is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is invariably learning Torah from his Rebbe, and that is bringing him closer to Hashem. So later, when Eliyahu HaNavi speaks about having stood before Hashem, he actually was referring to standing before his master, Achia HaShiloni, a Navi that we will meet in due time. So sometimes standing before your Rebbe is the equivalent of standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Pasuk Yud Beis tells us that in the meantime, there was a real problem at home for Eli HaKohen, one of which he was unaware. Uvenei Eli b'nei v'liya'al. The children of Eli were wicked. Lo yadu es Hashem. They did not know God. B'liya'al is a stronger term of wickedness than almost any other, and it carries a connotation of major averos or crimes, particularly those that connect to Avodah Zarah. And the Medrash says, not knowing Hashem is also a phrase that suggests that the person is saying there is no kingdom in heaven. So lo yadu, they lacked, the Targum Yonasan says, reverence and awe for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They didn't know to fear Hashem. And the connection, the vav that connects the pasuk, uvenei Eli, is to show the great contrast between Shmuel. Here's Shmuel, a 2 or 3 year old, who has been left with Eli HaKohen, who is distant physically from his parents, only sees them occasionally during the year, as we'll see in upcoming Pesukim. Eli's sons are being directly raised by their father, one of the holiest men of Klal Yisrael, and yet they are wicked and grow distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a real problem here with Eli's sons, Chafni and Pinchas, as we will see. Yud Gimel, Umishpat HaKohanim Es Ha'am. Now the custom... So mishpat can mean law, but instead it was a custom that the sons of Eli themselves had put in place, so we see that they treated it as a law, even though it really was not one. Towards the people, kol ish zoveach zevach. With any man, any time, a man came to offer a sacrifice at the Mishkan. Uva na'ar hakohen kivashel habasar. The youth serving the Kohen would come while the meat was cooking. So when you brought a sacrifice, So there is meat that goes to the owners of the sacrifice. There is meat that goes, part of the flesh of the sacrifice goes on the Mizbeach. So as the food was cooking, the Na'ar would come, the Hamazleg Shalosh Hashinayim Biyado, holding a three-pronged fork in his hand. Yodalid, V'hikov HaKiyar Ovadud. And the Nahar HaKohen, this was actually Eli's sons, would send a minion, would send a subordinate under their command, and he would strike, he would whack into the vessel or the cauldron, Ova Kalachas, or the pot where the cooking was going on, Ova Poror, or the pan, Karlasher Ya'aleh HaMazleg, anything that the fork would bring up from the midst of the pan, Yikach HaKohen Bo, the Kohen would take for himself. Kocha Ya'asu L'Kol Yisrael HaBoyim Sham B'Shilo. This is what they would do to all of Klal Yisrael, coming there to Shiloh to bring karbanos. So when somebody brings a karban shlamim, the fats that are specified by the Torah are burned on the Mizbeach. The portions of the Kohen that the Kohen gets are the breast and the right thigh. The remainder of the shlamim belongs to the owner. And he and his family and anybody they might invite eat the karban shlamim. But B'nai Eli made it a practice to send one of their young minions to seize any portion the fork would bring up. And this is thus committing a variety of averos. First of all, the three-pronged fork was specific because it would bring up a larger part of the pot. Each prong would bring up another piece of meat, giving them one more portion than the right thigh and the breast that they were entitled to. They took it by force. Even if it was coming to them as a chelek kohanim, they should have waited for it to be given to them. Just asking for it was considered improper by a kohen. And as we're going to see, they had a very proud manner about them while they did it. And most important of all, in terms of kodshim, they're taking their share before the chelev is burned on the Mizbeach. And that itself is an avera. So they are breaking a wide variety of rules that are real Torah rules and showing contempt for the carbon process. And as we're going to see, they tried to make sure that they enriched themselves at other people's expense.